Good morning. That's about the first half of what's called the Sermon on the Plain. Read a little more than is appointed because the rest of it will be lost in the change of calendar. For those of you who haven't noticed or who do not regularly read your bulletin, this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We will be in Lent already by the time we get back to the sequential reading of Luke's Gospel. All of this will be over. So I read a little more of it this morning to give you some flavor for it. It's the great comprehensive sermon in Luke that corresponds to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. But it's only one-third the length. This is chapter 6, period. Matthew runs 5, 6, and 7 for his. And it's different. As Jerome pointed out in the first homily, there's a real difference in tone between what Matthew says and what Luke says. And some difference in wording. You heard Luke, 4 Beatitudes, 4 woes. Matthew, the much more familiar text, for good reason, has 8 Beatitudes and no woes. What's happening? Who has the real one? Well, over the centuries, we've always much preferred Matthew. It's easier to listen to. It's not quite as at you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I don't mind being poor in spirit. Don't want to be poor, mind you. Don't mind being poor in spirit. So, we much preferred Matthew's. But is there a reason? Other than our own preference. Well, the original is probably neither. You can reconstruct the original frequently when you get two different versions. On the basis of a few rules that scripture scholars have figured out over the years. One of them, and the one that works best here, is people are much more likely to add to the words of Jesus than they are to subtract from them. If you're a first or second or third century Christian, and the person who converted you passed on to you these words as coming from Jesus, and you're now out doing preaching and teaching on your own, you might adapt them to your current situation, the needs of your hearers. You might supplement them, but you're unlikely to put scissors to them and throw some of them away. So what they have in common is generally pretty close to the original. And then from that you can see where the two different editors edited it differently. What you get, essentially, are Luke's Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry, blessed are the weeping, blessed are the persecuted. Matthew spiritualizes two of those, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. And then adds four more. It's all spiritual. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the single-hearted. Blessed are the peacemakers. These are all attitudinal things. Matthew wants to talk about the attitude, the spirit of the kingdom. Luke, quite satisfied with the four he gets, fits his portrait of Jesus. Remember, this is the fellow who had Jesus begin his ministry saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to announce glad tidings to the poor." So this fits his theology quite well. In fact, he sharpens it up a little by constructing four countervailing woes. Woe to you who are rich, woe to you who are full, woe to you who are laughing, woe to you who are well spoken of. So taking aside Matthew's spiritualizing additions and Luke's woe additions, we get four simple beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry, blessed are the weeping, blessed are the persecuted. Now that surely constitutes a challenge to us, because these are things that we avoid with great energy. And generally with great success. We are the richest society in the world. In fact, the richest society in the history of the world. And the poorest among us is rich by world standards. And here we are saying, blessed are the poor. We certainly have no desire of being hungry. Weeping? Put your arm around somebody once in a while and tell them they don't have to. It's okay. You don't cry. Weeping is not encouraged. And being persecuted or doing anything for which you might get persecuted is surely not encouraged. So these Beatitudes don't seem to be aimed in our direction. In fact, if we listen to Luke, it's more the woes that he adds that get aimed in our direction. Are we not rich? Are we not full? Are we not laughing? Are we not well spoken of, respectable type folks? Woe to all of us. That's not an easy thing to hear. And it gets worse. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. You know, maybe. Some of the time. Sort of. Then it goes beyond that. Goes to stuff that I don't even, not only not do, I don't even want to do. Give to everyone who asks of you. I'm not going to do that. Just not. It's not realistic. I think of myself as a fairly generous person. I write a check for this and a check for that. I'm sure you do too. Our friends here at CRS would testify as to how much this parish gave for Haiti just a couple of weeks ago. We lend to our friends and our relatives and our neighbors and don't really expect it back, at least not all the time. That's pretty good. Give to everyone who asks of you? I'd be plucked like a chicken in 3 days flat. Every con artist in the state of Maryland would find their way to your door if they knew you were going to buy every story you were handed. How long would you last? You'd be literally giving people the shirt off your back while the people were assessing your house for the repossession. We're not going to do that. We might be a little more generous than we are now. We're sure not going to do that. But that's the challenge put out there. It's the challenge that goes with the blessed are the poor. Woe to you who are rich. We can't get off that hook. We can justify ourselves. That's too much to ask. But we can't get off that hook. We are called upon to do more than we're capable of. Fortunately, the results of that are not calamitous. We tend to think of law as an absolute minimum, an obligatory minimum under conduct. If you don't do this, you will get punished. We learn that from when we're kids. And when we become grown-ups, it goes the same way. You know? What will the teacher tolerate in this classroom? What can I get away with on this job? And where is the bottom line? Can I really stretch that deduction that far? No, I probably won't get audited, so yeah, I can do that. They do audit, though. They check up on you. I was talking to one of my colleagues a while ago. He got a phone call from the IRS. He said, Father, did John Doe really give $10,000 to St. Cunegundas as he claimed on his tax return last year? He said, well, I don't know. I don't keep all... I'll go look. So he went and came back and said, well, yes and no. What do you mean yes and no? Either he did or he didn't. Well, he hasn't yet, but he will. He will. But we're looking for that. What's the line below which we will be pushed out? And we take most law that way. So I don't want to hear this law, because if I take this law that way, I'm out of luck. God's simply going to steamroller over me and toss me down someplace where I deserve. But that's not the kind of law this is. This is not a minimum floor under conduct. This is a maximum. Obligatory, nonetheless, but a maximum. It's a new kind of standard. No, it's not a new kind of standard. It's just new to us, new in our culture. It's the old kind of standard for Jesus and his culture. It's covenant law. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That was all the way back to Leviticus. Matthew, in his much larger version of this, says, be perfect, for your Father in heaven is perfect. And Luke wraps this version up with, be compassionate, as your Father in heaven is compassionate. Very simple idea about ethics. Learn who your God is. Grow up to be like that. Doesn't mean you're going to get there. You're not ever going to get there. But that doesn't ever give you an excuse to stop. You all keep trying. Every time, every step. A little closer, a little closer, a little closer. Be compassionate as your Father in heaven is compassionate. No way. I can be compassionate sometimes. I can be fairly compassionate sometimes. I'm never going to be compassionate as my Father in heaven is compassionate. But I can keep striving. I can keep stretching. I can keep trying to get a little closer to that. So can you. We're not going to be among the poor. But we can be more concerned for the poor and less concerned for accumulating our stuff. See that more as something that weighs us down than as a set of goals to be striven for. We're not going to love our enemies the way we love our friends, but we can work at loving them more. Be like your Father. Sends down the sun, the good and the bad, the rain on the just and the unjust. Be more compassionate. Be more like God. This is the spirit of the kingdom, all right? Brought down to reality. Brought down to things about like who's poor and who's hungry. God isn't just asking, how do I feel? Do I feel more pious than I did yesterday? Do I feel more holy? Do I feel more merciful? God is asking, what do I do? What am I doing for the poor? What am I doing for the enemy? What am I doing for my persecutors? What am I doing for all the people who would just as soon get to me and do it first? What am I doing? In what way am I living the compassion that I experience in God? That's a real big challenge. Now, how do you respond to a challenge like that? Well, Wednesday we start Lent. And we've got this whole program for Lent. There's a liturgical program on Sundays. There's an education committee program that's a series of shared meditations. There's the liturgical program on every other Wednesday during the week. All of those things are there. Think about maybe incorporating them into who you are and what you're doing. And then think about what you're going to be meditating on, what you're going to be doing, what you're going to be working at in the spirit of this challenge. Nope. I'm not the poor. I'm not the weeping. I'm not the hungry. I'm not the persecuted. But I still want to be related to the one that Jesus calls Abba. I still want to experience that compassion. And I still want to learn how to be that compassion. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.